Welcome to the Minivaid Gang Podcast, recorded on Friday, September 24th, 2010. I'm Steve Borsch, and I'm on with Tim, Mr. Smooth Elliott.
Good morning. That music has kind of like a Western James Bond vibe to it.
It could be Hawaiian. It could be James Bond. Yeah, it could be anything. And also with us is Mr. Phil 007 Wilson.
Phil Wilson.
How you guys doing?
Great.
Excellent. Excellent.
Well, we've I'm shaken, but not stirred.
Yeah.
Where's the rim shot when you need it?
I know. And you know what? It's a good thing that there are 50,000 comedians out of work and we're making free jokes and not very good ones at that. But anyway.
Making free jokes.
That's right. So this week has been a little bit busy. I'm just amazed at how many things have been going on with meetups and unmarketing events and all sorts of things. And Phil, weren't you at Mobile Twin Cities?
I did Mobile Twin Cities on Tuesday night. They meet the third Tuesday of every month. Right now, mostly at Refactor. So it was a good group this week. You know, we were talking, it tends to get a little geeky at times. So we really would encourage more non-geeks to come out and help drive that conversation. But it was interesting. Justin Grammons always does a great job running the meeting and also did a little presentation of what's new in mobile and you know over the last month, and that was great. So we had a nice evening. We talked about MeeGo, we talked about 4G as well.
Okay.
We talked about LTE versus WiMAX, and of course I'm sitting there on my WiMAX phone. So
the Twin Cities one of the markets for it? So do you get 4G on your phone?
I do get 4G in spots. Some of the Sprint towers are up and running. You know, they're not talking about a rollout yet simply because I think it's very spotty. But while we were sitting there in Northeast, I was able to pick up a 4G tower, 4G signal, and almost tripled my speed
wow, that's incredible.
On my mobile browser. So it was only a fair signal. I didn't get a great signal. And that was very exciting, very interesting. Of course, you know, after the discussion, realizing that WiMAX is not the the 4G of choice moving forward, but such is life.
Such is life.
Well, it can be upgraded, though, from what I hear. So
yes, in fact, the folks at Clearwire have given signals that they would probably make that switch over. They haven't officially said that, but they probably make that switch to LTE. And since Sprint is a major, shareholder in Clearwire, they said that they would be fine with that. And the reason Sprint went with WiMAX was because it was built out and it was ready to go, and they wanted to be first in on 4G. So I think that's an interesting strategy and tactic. And boy, I tell you, when I get 4G, it's fun, it's fast.
Well, I can't wait. Do you think this mobile thing's going to have legs?
No, I don't think so. I think we're going to go back to the phone. I think we're going to go back to wires.
Rotary dial or touch
rotary
tone?
Phones, yeah.
Rotary phones. Because, you know, everybody's in just too much of a hurry. And I think if you can take that extra time on a rotary phone, it's just, it makes your life better.
You know, I'll never forget my dad's prefix at the house is 888 in Bloomington. And it used to be Tuxedo 8. Ooh. You know, when they would use
Tuxedo
letters.
That is very cool.
Yeah, TU8 instead of 888. And he still has a phone that has on the dial thing Tuxedo 8. It's just hilarious. Anyway,
anywho.
Little trivia. Yeah. Okay. Well, so let me segue into an event that happened yesterday and is actually happening today. But I can't be there. I've got a client imperative here this morning after we get done with the podcast. But the Rainmakers Conference, and Graham was able to come as well for about 3 hours. And this is their seventh event, and they're doing it every year now. And the Rain Fund, Rainmakers is Rain Source Capital, and it's the fund, and it's all the angel investors that get together and do this. And I got to tell you that this was the best one yet. best attended. There were over 200 people. There's actually an interview up on Minovate with a very short interview with Pete Berkland, who we've had on the podcast before, the CFO at Rain. But I got to tell you, there was a lot of very interesting startups there. And they had well, I'll just give you some example. I mean, Leif Larson was on. We had a table out there with Business Card 2. Lisa Foote with Mix Mobi, who we know. Jerry Grabowski of Redliner. You guys familiar with Redliner? That's the document collaboration engine, mm-hmm. but it's got security wrapped around it, so you can do collaborative editing of contracts and agreements and all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And then our pal Aaron Weber, who was with his two brothers, founded W3i, is going to launch his new startup on Tuesday out at TechCrunch Disrupt. And it's called Inveni, which is Italian for discovery. And I got to tell you, he gave me about a 10-minute pitch, and it's going to be a winner. It's a way to essentially have recommendations on music and movies and TV shows and books and all kinds of things. And I'll just kind of leave it at that right mm-hmm. now, but it's going to do well.
He's been working on that for quite some time. And it's very, it's going to be a very exciting sort of venture for him.
Yep. Yep.
Really, I really like him. He's a good guy.
Yep. And they had the crowd pitch there. So that was, unfortunately I had to leave halfway through, but, six startups were pitching their business plans and then the crowd voted. So that was, as always, pretty fun.
Mm-hmm. Lots of activity with startups. And speaking of startup weekend was last weekend as well over at Coco MSP. And from what I can tell, our friends over at tech.mn have done a good recap of that event. And about 60 to 70 people were participants in the entire weekend. Sounds like it was a great opportunity for a lot of startups. So and just to spend a little time, you know, at the ground floor. In fact, I believe, which is a mobile game, I believe, was the winner at the startup weekend. So,
Yep. And it was at Coco MSP. So these guys are turning into the kind of the hotspot hub for meetups and meetings and sessions and all kinds of things.
I really like that place a lot. I spent a little time there at the beginning when they first got it rolling on it. And to go back now it's very busy. It's a sort of a hive of activity. I think that's great.
Yeah. Well, then now there was another event too, the Social Media and Family. What was that all about?
A Social Media Club is sponsoring this 12-city tour of a panel discussion on social media and family. And it was very, very good. We had Albert Marucci on there from Provident Partners, Jason Deborah Moran from New Coventry, and Molly Snyder, who does a family blog called the Snyder Five. We spent the evening talking about the impact of social media on family, from the perspective of all these people that are parents in the social media space. In fact, Albert Marucci is going to join us this morning. So if you want to give him a call, Steve.
Yeah, why don't I do that?
Let's get him on and we can talk a little bit about it. It wasn't as well attended as I think that the topic deserves, but it was a fascinating evening. And what Social Media Club is doing is really helping us out a lot and guide that discussion.
So. Yeah. That's great.
Albert here.
Albert, Steve Borsch.
How you doing?
Good. How are you? And I'm on with Tim Elliott and Phil Wilson.
Hey, Albert. How are you this morning?
The brain trust.
Yeah. Did you say brain trust or brain trust?
Yeah, trust.
How are you this morning, my friend?
Excellent.
Well, we were just talking about social media plus family the other night. You were on the panel there at the Depot, and give us your takeaway and your thoughts about how the evening went and more broadly the topic in general.
So I think I'll speak about how the evening went and kind of frame it in the context of probably what the audience is. What your listeners frame of reference as well, which is where is the next generation of social media participants and advocates? What is their foundation and how are they going to take it? That's how I look at social media and family.
Really? That's it's kind of interesting because that's not really the way I went into it when I looked at it. And it was more of a, maybe that's my limited scope, not necessarily looking forward, but it seemed like it was sort of a, where are we at right now and how are we as parents adapting to integrating social media into the family, not necessarily how the younger part of the family is adapting to it. So that's interesting.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree that that's the way the panel was set up, but I wanted to frame it in the reference now of your audience of, say, marketers and businesses looking forward.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is there a trend in tweeners 2 or 3 years from now and how they are going to use social media, right? So today, for example, I think that there is enough a healthy paranoia that parents guard their children from using social media, particularly younger ones, right? Particularly kids in the, let's call it the 8 to 12 range. I've noticed, I have no statistics to prove this, but since I have 5 kids, that may be close to
yeah,
a statistical significance.
But I think so, yeah.
But there is the early user. Remember Webkinz?
Sure. Club Penguin. Yep, sure.
So that's the early user. And then there is some gap between that novelty and that type of online behavior falling off and not quite old enough to deal with or for the parent to be comfortable with the kid on, say, Facebook or Twitter. So there's this gap. And then as, let's call it high school age, there's this flood to Facebook, and particularly as the institutions of America, the institutions of America where that age group participates, schools, clubs, that kind of thing, those institutions also caution about use of Facebook. I personally have been through the era of the institution just learning about Facebook. They've been taught about Facebook by other students who kind of narc on their colleagues, and all of a sudden teachers find, athletes having a beer on high school athletes having a beer on Facebook, and all hell breaks loose and kids get suspended. And
Eden Prairie, we're looking at you, right?
Hey, yeah, kind now. Be nice.
Eden Prairie was the one that got the press. That filtered through the metro, right? I don't know if you guys remember that?
Oh, God. Well,
oh, yeah.
I live in Eden Prairie, so right. Yeah. Yeah.
And it filtered through the metro. And then, you have this recoil. Now, what I've seen is there is a little bit more hands-on approach of parents of tweeners. And as kids get mature, this happens at various degrees, by the way. As kids get mature in college.
I'm still waiting to mature myself, so go on.
Exactly. You start seeing the, as Jason DeBoermeran said yesterday, the purge, the big senior year high school purge,
yep.
Or the big junior and senior year college purge of, oh man, I got to get a job, so these pictures got to go away.
Are you guys, Tim and Steve, were you familiar with this ritual that seems to go on, especially on college campuses in a senior year? Were you aware of this?
Not really. No.
There's Jason, who works daily at Concordia, says he sees it every year. Come spring, the seniors purge their Facebook pages of all the pictures. Yeah.
No, I think my kids are smarter than that and have 2 Facebook accounts.
Hey, Tim. That was Tim, right?
Yeah.
Tim, I did the I've experienced the Nom de Plume Facebook account in my family.
Oh my.
Yeah, oh, yeah. No. No, my kids are very, very careful, so it would not surprise me, especially if my son had a second profile, which of course I'm not friended to like I am to the other one. The clean one.
So now can I get a little deep here?
Oh, sure. Yeah, what would stop you?
Well, you could hang up, I guess. But what does the two account issue, which isn't necessarily bad, by the way, I understand it. There's even two accounts in the adult area. But what does that say about the whole concept of transparency and authenticity?
Well, it's interesting because I have a daughter who's 23 and she lived for a long time on Facebook, and it's just like the conversations we have about tattoos. And she was asking me one day, what do you think about that woman over there? And she had this great big tattoo on her ankle and she had just, really nice legs. And I just said, I don't like it. I think it really takes away. And she said, Dad, that's really an age thing because I don't even see it. I mean, it just is what it is. And she says, you need to understand. Here's my daughter telling me this. She says, you need to understand the filter that you're looking at the world through. What glasses you're looking through, what's your perspective. And I always go back to Pew Internet look at the stats, about teens age 12 to 17 aren't really using Twitter all that much and they're not blogging and, but they're spending a lot of time on Facebook and all of that. The kicker is when they get to be my daughter's age, 23, and they look and say, I'm just about out of college and now I got to go get a job and now I got to go compete with everybody and I can't have anything that might be a liability. And that's what the purging is all about. And there's an awareness that there just aren't a lot of jobs out there. And I'm going to be competing with a lot of different people. And I just think that there's a great sense that the stakes are higher.
And this is the downside for me. This is a huge, huge downside for me. And here's where it comes. I did a piece a long time ago about social media being more of a movement than a market. I understand it's a marketplace, but the concept behind social media, the ability to communicate across cultures, all of the examples, the Iranian election is one of them, about how this great medium allows us to be more connected. And then, of course, the great buzzwords of social media gurus on being human as a company and on being authentic and transparent. Some of that Kool-Aid, man, I got a little buzz on that. The more we get down into social media and this particular conversation about, I'm going to compete and I have to purge, we're just recreating the facade of the last century, of the last, let's call it the norms of society, of just being recreated digitally. And we've even made it more complicated, right? So I don't think then that social media reaches the maximum potential that it had. And I think for some people, you go, forget it. It's just same old story, digitally represented, big deal.
So do you think that social media use and this whole purging thing and being aware of these digital fingerprints and breadcrumbs that you're leaving all over the place, that we're essentially training a new nation of spin doctors that'll understand that whatever they put out there that needs to be polished and they'll all go into PR or something?
I think that's a great point, Steve. It's a great point. And what does that do to the original concept of transparency and being authentic? And we talked about this at the panel, Phil. We can be authentic as individuals. Okay? Let's just take the Minnesota governor's race, Mark Dayton, and depression. We talk about authentic. So let's just leave it at the straight up value. He is upfront about that, right? Now, are we as a society mature enough to handle authenticity? The old Jack Nicholson line, you can't handle the truth. Okay, we can't handle the truth. And if we can't handle the truth, then let's just put that sugar coated wrapping that everybody wants to see and try and go get that job.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's a line between authenticity and common sense, though. I mean, you don't want everything out there. And even people like Robert Scoble, who are very transparent, they don't stick everything about them out there.
Let's move this. Let's look at this as a spectrum, right? Uh-huh. I think the spectrum of everything. My every little thought and word, which, by the way, Google has already. So if they just flip the switch on public searches, on all my searches being public, I'm done. Right? I mean, so
but they wouldn't do that because everyone would sue them. I mean, that's a privacy.
I understand, so let's just take that as the one part of the spectrum, all the way to the completely transparent spectrum. I'm saying that in social media, we were somewhere between non-disclosure and being, quote, human, right? That was the big phrase. Companies need to be human. And we started down that road, and now we're kind of pulling back a little bit. Yeah, it's human to have a beer. Absolutely. Yeah, it's human to use profanity. Do I want that on my Twitter account? Better yet, do I want SH*T on my Twitter account? What does that say to people? Or here's another one. I grew up in kind of a hard scrabble neighborhood in New York. I have plenty of friends today, plenty of friends from back then that today I don't hang out with. And if I brought them into the Caribou over here, that people would shiver, right? But they're friends of mine on Facebook. And now, do I have guilt by association 30 years removed? But that's what we're having. And so now you say to me, well, maybe we better purge even our friends that are less, you know, a little unsavory.
Yeah, I see where you're going
cool.
with that.
And that you know what that does? That says to me, okay, let me just rip it all out, put up my little brand image, my public persona, and that's what I want people to believe I am.
Well, you know, in the interest of transparency, I've been searching and searching while we've been talking here, Albert, and I cannot find the Albert Marucci bedroom cam or any naked pictures. So are they? Come on.
That's another issue of transparency. You know, yeah. I could tell you I sleep on the couch here, but that probably is something I don't want you to know either, but that's all right.
Well, you know, it's an interesting topic that could
See
go
what
on.
I mean?
Yeah, we See talk what about mean? Yeah, we talk about what social media is and is it a medium or is it social and the topic could go for quite some time. Albert, I just wanted to touch base with you and get your thoughts on the event the other night because you know what I felt refreshed about was we spent the entire evening talking about our families and how what we do impacts them and you know we didn't mention the word SEO once. It was really very nice.
Oh, it was awesome.
Yeah.
But this gets down, it still gets down to the issue we're talking about now. Are you going to be kind of a more as you would in a group setting like we are right now?
Yeah. Are there going to be other family focused topics that you know of at Social Media Club or anything you see out there coming up?
I think that you couldn't help but do that if for nothing else to continue to talk about these trends.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the novelty may wear off with guys in our generation we may actually want to enjoy a meal before it gets cold, before we snap pictures of it and tell people where we are. And
I think most people would rather do that, Albert.
Well, if you don't have participation, you don't have social media.
Yeah, well, I suppose. But the part of being social is you get to choose to be social or not. So quite frankly, I don't care what you're having for dinner, Albert.
Unless you're
buying for me.
You care where I'm at so that you can go and enjoy it or avoid it.
If you buy it for me, then I'm probably more interested. But listen, we'll let you go, but thanks very much popping in, and we'll talk again. And thanks very much for being on that panel at SMC. It was great.
Thanks, Albert.
Hey, thanks, you guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Take care, man.
Take care. Bye. Bye.
So, yeah, this, you know, Albert, it was interesting that we kind of went off on that tangent because it was implied on the other night, on Wednesday night, but it was not explored. So I'm glad we got to explore it a little bit here on the Men of Eight Gang podcast.
Yes.
So what do we got coming up, guys?
Okay, go ahead. It's common sense.
It is.
It's all about common sense, and you can still be authentic and transparent and not,
Yeah, I agree.
Not overshare.
But, you know, here's what I really wanted to champion a little bit the other night at that event was, look, there is a difference between how you act in person and how you act online. There's a difference in how you text message and how you write a report if you're in school, or write a proposal if you were working, or, you know, there's a difference between writing a letter and writing an email. And that's the one thing that I think needs to be focused on, and not necessarily just by families, but by school systems, because it's a big part of our world. And there needs to be that discussion of what is classic writing, what is not. But then again, the writing styles are going to evolve based on the society. So I think that there needs to be more effort spent on that and more discussion with families in families about those issues. So that was my thing.
Yep.
So the soapboxes. I'm off the soapbox. There you go.
Well, we did mention Facebook during that little chat with Albert and how
we broke it. Yeah.
Well, here's what I loved. You know, Tim, you sent off a couple of links this morning. I'll put them in the show notes about the Facebook outage, about Facebook being down for 2.5 hours yesterday. And I just absolutely love this sentence. Today, we made a change to the persistent copy
yeah.
of a configuration value that was interpreted as invalid. Now,
I was going to mention the same thing, Steve.
That's an engineer for you, huh?
You know, exactly. When you want an explanation, damn it, Facebook's going to give it to you.
That's right.
In his defense, this is the developer blog, so most of the audience would understand it.
Of course. So funny. But, you know, of course, it was made, you know, much more mainstream when Mashable put it out there. Oh, my God, what the hell does that mean?
Oh, we broke it.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, well, the guy at the Guardian translates it for you. So,
yeah. Well, but you know what's interesting about this is that, you know, I have been stunned over and over and over again of how often, especially in the past few months, that I have been doing something that I consider to be mission critical and really urgent that I've got to get done before I jump out of the office and take off. And all of a sudden something's not working, you know, Gmail isn't refreshing, or the web host that I'm at has issues and there's a big delay, or, you know, something along those lines. FTP isn't working because some configuration value got interpreted as invalid. Comic Twit goes down. Oh my God. On and on and on. And I didn't sign up to be a system administrator. And that's what I've turned into in many ways. I mean, I've got a laptop, you know, and we're watching a movie last Friday night, and I got my laptop open, and I'm doing stuff, you know, configuration stuff while we're watching this movie. And it's just, oh my God. So did you guys experience the outage? I mean, was it a big deal?
No.
Okay.
It didn't really impact me too much. There were a lot of things to do, and yeah, it's kind of nice to be able to go to Facebook whenever you want. But sometimes, you know, such is technology.
The problem that I had was that, you know, when it first went down, I thought, oh, this is interesting. And then it cascaded to all the client sites that I have where we have like buttons on them. Mm-hmm. And instead of gracefully failing, the service basically had very large, you know, service unavailable signs, which really, truly made the designs look bad. So you had to go around and turn off plugins so that your like buttons go away. Mm-hmm. So that was, you know, especially if it was, you know, it was as long as it was over 2 hours, that was a problem. But other than that, yeah, it's, I can do without it for a couple hours.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Now, if it was out for a day or two, that would be an interesting, thing.
Yep.
Did you guys get your new Twitter pages yet?
I have not gotten new
Twitter. I have not gotten it either.
I got new Twitter yesterday and it immediately bonked my, Firefox browser on my MacBook. So it goes to a completely white screen, which is a really clean design, and I like that, but
not what you're expecting.
Works fine in Safari, just doesn't work in Firefox. So
weird.
Touches light. But you just wait for the bugs to be worked out.
Yeah. But we'll look for that.
Yeah. So we've got MEMA coming up.
Oh my gosh. Monday and Tuesday.
Coming up on Monday and Tuesday.
Yep. Yep. It's gonna be fabulous. And Minovate's gonna be doing the video interviews during it. And sounds like you're signing up for that, Phil.
Sure, I'd be glad to. And then we'll be doing the
all the sessions,
blogging, and the
live
sessions.
Blogging,
and
yep,
we'll be everywhere.
We'll be everywhere.
I'm sure Graham will be tweeting his brains out because that's what Graham does.
He does. I got to tell you that for anyone who's listening that hasn't been to the MEMA Summit, it is qualitatively one of the best events of its kind that I've ever gone to anywhere, and that includes San Francisco. I mean, it's a really, really well done event. And yes, we got a lot of agencies here and we're a great, ad market and a lot of diversity, a lot of corporations here. And so there's a lot of business going on, but there are also a lot of people around the traditional marketing space that, are jumping in and leveraging the knowledge that they're gaining at these half-day workshops and at the conference itself.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, no, don't forget to join us for our very first video, which will be a tour of the swag bag, which is always a good time.
That always is a good time. All right. Hey, listen, this has been great. Good talking to you guys. And we'll
join us again next week, won't you? How's that, huh?
There you go.
We'll be talking about MEMA Summit, I'm sure.
Oh, my gosh, sure, we will.
Maybe we should get a guest at the MEMA Summit.
That could be an idea. All right.
Yeah, we'll see.
Good.
Right. Maybe we should get like Gary Vaynerchuk or somebody like that.
I've heard of him.
I have too.
It'd be good. I'll see if we can wire that. That would be interesting.
Do you think you and Gary would have anything to talk about?
Yeah. Whenever we get together, we normally talk about
wine.
A thing or two.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're both big NASCAR fans.
So. Well, we're big Jets fans for one, but he's getting back into wine again, which is interesting. So that would be what I would talk to him about. After all of his success in the real world, why he's going back into making his wine business more successful.
Yeah. Yep. Lear or Gulfstream?
Yeah, I don't know what he's gonna get. First class,
get it,
probably.
New York Jets, get it. Jets fan, get it.
Jets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, Tim, keep up.
Okay. All right, guys. All right.
I was talking football.
I know.
Oh, there's they have football teams out there.
Yeah, now that the Vikings have lost two in a row, I'm a big Jets fan.
Bandwagoner.
Oh my God. All right, guys.
All right, you guys. Have a great week.
Have a good one.
We'll see you next week on the Minute Eight Gang podcast.
Take care.
Go Vikes.